This morning is from Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Thanks, Lizzie. Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing today? Tired? You doing all right? Who wooed? Good wooing. We could use some more wooing around this place, I think. It's really good to be here with you this morning. If you're new to VIA, welcome. It's nice to have you. My name's Stephen. I'm the lead pastor here. It's really great to have some friends from our church plants, VIA Calgary representing up front, VIA Regina on stage all weekend. Looking good, Jared. VIA Vancouver sitting in the back, backsliding. Just kidding. I make that joke because Melinda just texted me that she thinks she was healed this weekend, so that's awesome. Praise the Lord. But it's been a really fantastic weekend. If you haven't been tracking with us in Lethbridge, we just wrapped up a series on the five passions and the glorious church, which is really our vision and mission as a church. And I think it's been a really beneficial time, a rejuvenating time, and in some ways it feels a bit restorative, I think, for us. And then last night, Bishop Todd brought, as Rob said, a really kind of corrective and refocusing message for our movement. And I think it's important moving forward that we continually make sure our trajectory is set straight, that as we take steps day by day, we're following the Lord and going in the right direction and really keeping the main things on point. But over the past few months, it feels like things have been really good around here. I think our church is really coming into a new season, and it feels almost fresh. There's a renewed sense of hope, and we've talked about entering a new season a lot, and I wholeheartedly think that we are entering into a new season. I don't have any doubts about that. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people get healed. We've seen the gifts flowing in increasing ways. And as I talk to people, hope is being renewed and joy in the gospel and joy in our salvation is coming up. And again, Living Free was this refocus for us, and it renewed the sense of our call to discipleship and this sense of the need to have wholehearted submission and following of Christ. And it's just been a beautiful journey thus far. And yet, as I've been meeting with people and even reflecting on my own life, it feels like our circumstances haven't necessarily changed. We feel this tension of there is life coming from God and hope being talked about and newness of the season, and yet in things like our marriages and in things like our finances and our jobs and careers and relationships and families, it can be difficult. It's felt tough at times, and that can actually be really frustrating when you come here and we're all going, new things, hope, joy, God's moving, and yet on Monday to Saturday, it feels like it's the same old stuff, time and time again. And so it can be easy, I think, to doubt what God's doing, and it's easy to doubt that he has new things for us, and we can sometimes even go as far as to doubt that the promises of God are probably not even true. And so I've been reflecting the last couple weeks on the journey of the Israelites into the Promised Land. And as they followed God and go into the Promised Land, immediately the next season for them is war after war. They walk into a season that's absolutely full of battles. And so they're coming into this land that God promised them centuries ago, and it didn't make life easier. It ramped up trial. And God wasn't outside of this trial. God's not actually surprised by this trial. In fact, he led them into that trial. He said, I'm going to lead you into this land, and then it's war, war, war. And as Bishop Todd taught on Friday, trouble is actually a promise for those who follow God. And so our faith can't be in this pain-free, smooth-sailing existence. But our faith follows and participates fully in the journey of Christ, who's our king. And we all know what his journey looked like. But thankfully for Israel, this is a new generation going into the promises of God. They have their own kind of passing through the waters experience. So the former generation, the Red Sea was split wide open. They were delivered from Egypt. They passed through the waters, led by the Spirit, and they were made into a new nation. But this generation going into the promised land actually didn't get to experience that. So God beautifully actually gives them their own kind of walking through the waters experience, where he stops the River Jordan, the priests take the ark, lead the people across, and they all have their own salvific water passing moment. And I guess that this moment is instrumental in their faith. If God is going to call them into, in some ways, a season of battle and a season of trial, it was so abundantly clear that he was calling them. How? Because he literally stopped water from flowing and they passed through on dry ground. So they have this understanding that God is obviously involved, God is obviously moving. We walked through what used to be a river and is now dry ground. And so the battles and the trials in some ways gave them this sense of faith that God had led them into it. I would suppose that if that didn't happen, they didn't have this kind of miraculous leading, and they just went, oh, we're going to go into the land, and it was battle, battle, battle. They'd go, maybe we misheard him. Maybe he isn't leading us into something new. Maybe our leaders are really bad and just led us to death. But the beauty of God is that he goes, no, I'm actually going to show myself to you. I'm actually going to demonstrate my power and my might in this really tangible and real way to fill you with hope and to fill you with faith that actually sustains some of these trials. Because you can't deny that God led them into it. And so I think as I've reflected on where our church is at, I think for some of us, God has really touched us. He's shown himself powerfully. We've seen afresh his deliverance and his salvation. We've seen healing. We've seen hope restored. He's spoken to us. He's demonstrated himself to us. And has given us this fresh burst of hope. And yet in this difficult season that may follow, our hope can wane. And so I think what I'm feeling is perhaps that God has really shown himself powerfully, not to assure us that this will never happen or negative things won't happen, but to assure us that he is actually with us, that he is actually leading us, that he is watching over us, that he is on the throne, and the waters of life and the chaos of life won't actually take him down, and they won't topple over you. It's tremendous news. And so that's kind of the preamble to the text. But if any of that resonates with you, if any of your season feels like that, on Christ the King Sunday, it's a good Sunday. We're going to go through the text again, but pay really special attention to what God might be saying to you in your season through this text today. And I pray for all of us that God would grant us a fresh revelation of his power and his might. Let's put up verse 1 and 2 together. The Lord reigns. I feel like we could stop there. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from old, and you are from everlasting. The Lord reigns, friends. This is an emphatic declaration. It's not a question, and there is literally no doubt in the words of the psalmist. And too easily, I think we hear this, and we go, yeah, we know God reigns. He's in control. Sure, like, obviously. But yet, when we look at our life, it can feel untrue. And I think the reality is, in our hearts, the reign of God can become inconsequential in our hope and in our faith, wrongly. So this week I've been meditating on this psalm, and to be honest, the amount of times something has come up in my life that could lead me to anxiety, that could lead me to worry, that could lead me to stress, I have just had to remind myself and speak to my own spirit in some ways and just say, but Christ is on the throne. Christ is totally and utterly in control. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He reigns over everything, and that actually matters. And to understand, I think, the reality of the reign of God is to give us this perspective in life that brings about peace, that brings about hope, that Christ actually reigns. And so then, what does that mean about fill in the blank? What does it mean for your marriage? What does it mean for your family? What does it mean for your children? What does it mean for your job? What does it mean for your bank statement if Christ actually reigns? That he's Lord. That he is over everything. And it's an eternal consequence. So what does that mean for the things that are going on today? The psalmist twice repeats the word robed. It speaks of his strength being like a belt. He's girded with strength. He's dressed for war. He's majestic. He's magnificent. And he's dressed to go out and to fight and to save. His reign isn't passive or inactive. It's marked by strength. It's marked by effectiveness. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It says, the earth is established and shall not be moved. And it shall not be moved only because prior to the earth even being created, the throne of God was established. That God holds all things together, that he keeps things stable, and his throne will never be toppled over. The stability of humanity, our stability, really only exists insofar as we're willing to submit to him, so far as we're willing to bend our knee to the Lord and to follow him. That in doing that, exactly what Bishop Todd preached last night, to follow him, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to go, you are Lord of my life, it is only in that that we find stability. It's only in coming in line with his stability does our life find any stability. And his stability is not something new. He's not a rookie. He's eternal. He's been stable before anything that we even know was created. And so it's in this reality of Christ that we can participate and expectantly hope in the everlasting security of a God who reigns supreme. We can hope in the security of a God who's unconquerable, who's steadfast, who's immovable. And we will inevitably come into times of turmoil. We'll come into places of trouble. It's just a fact of life. And it's only in Christ, our Lord, that we can find confidence and purpose for our future, even amid the darkest of night. And this psalm, I love the psalms. It gives us permission to feel the darkest of nights. There's nothing pretentious about this. There's nothing fake about this. It allows us to recognize the reality and the impact of trouble, but it calls us from despair, and it calls us to look up to hope in the reality of Christ. It calls us beyond our feelings, and it calls us into the biblical truth of his lordship. You put verse 3 up. It says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. It's ominous. We've talked about this before, but in the Old Testament, often water symbolizes these kind of chaotic forces that oppose God, that stand against his way, that stand against his people. And the Bible is just so real about this. But this is a lament from someone to God about how terrifying life is right now. So they don't know what to do with these unfavorable circumstances they found themselves in. Life is just berating them. It's coming at them so fast. It's coming at them hard, and it's intimidating. The waves of chaos are roaring all around them. And I love the sea imagery. If you've been on the coast on a windy, choppy day, it is violent and it's loud. You can't hear anything else. The sea is roaring. It's thundering. The floods are rising. And the psalmist is asking himself, is this going to overcome me? Am I going to be safe? Can I make it through this unscathed? Maybe you felt like this over the last couple months. in circumstances of life, in marriages. I know we have lots of business people feeling like this right now. Maybe it's even in your spiritual life. Will I be okay? Am I going to make it through this? And so if that's resonated with you, hear the promise of verse 4. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The whole psalm is summed up in this one phrase. This one proclamation of deliverance and salvation. And it's beyond just a proclamation. This is confession. This is the psalmist saying, this is beyond just wishful thinking. This is beyond name it and claim it. This is backed up by my existence. This is backed up by my testimony of the fact that God has already saved me. That God has already intervened, that God has already saved, he has already delivered, and to the greatest degree. The flooding waters of baptism have thundered over my soul, and they brought me into new life, and they brought me into redemption, and these waters can't compare to that. That's the declaration. These waters can't topple over the waters of baptism. These waters can roar and they can rage, but they can't take down God who's fully united us to himself. This is a promise that our eternal security must outweigh and does outweigh our kind of circumstantial insecurities. That the reality of salvation, the reality of God as deliverer, it just trumps in every way the insecurities of this world. That Christ reigns, that he is king, that he is enthroned, and he is mightier than any chaotic force that'll come against you. And because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we don't need to be in fear. Amen? Because of that, we come underneath the shelter of his might. And though the waves may roar, they will not take him down. Because his throne is steadfast, and his throne is immovable, and his throne is everlasting, and his throne is secure. At Christ's enthronement, the cross, this is where he is enthroned over all of creation. He was entirely victorious over sin and over death. And we have fully shared in that. We have been brought into that victory. We have died with him in order that we'd be raised to new life with him. And though our physical and earthly bodies may suffer and die, we will live forever with him in glory. And that's the source of hope. That's the source that trumps all circumstantial insecurity. Finally, verse 5. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. This verse brings this kind of vast and mystical and transcendent reality home, and it concretely puts everything within the tangible reality of our ability to experience and participate in the salvific work of Christ. That he isn't just some distant God on a throne who's disconnected from our circumstance and disconnected from creation, but it's his decrees, it's his testimonies that are trustworthy. In other words, the reality and the promises of Scripture rest on the integrity of a God who vouches for his promises and backs them up. That he says, this is what I've said I'll do, and you've seen me do it, and I'm going to do it again. They aren't empty. The promises of Christ are well proven. And it's in that we put our trust and hope. It's in his trustworthiness. And our lives are meant to testify to the whole world of this. He's proven himself faithful. He's proven himself faithful to his promises time and time again. And though the waves can feel like they're going to topple over us, we can be confident in the fact that he promises eternal deliverance, and he promises us salvation, and he is the king, and he's in charge. And so when he says he's going to do it, he will. And if he's the king, it means that sometimes he might do things in a way that we didn't expect or want. But part of kingship is that he actually knows better than us. So I feel like Jesus is saying to us, friends, let the waves roar. Just don't pay any attention to them. You've already died to this world. Don't be stressed out by the waves of chaos. You've been consumed by the waves of Christ. And I love that this verse also declares that he's not only in charge, but he's actually close. That he's come and he's filled the earth. He's filled his house. He's filled the temple. And his holiness is filling it. And it means that his house and his temple has become a source of blessing to those who are inside, that we can bask in the goodness and the holiness of God. And those who receive his holiness, those who come to him in worship, those who choose his will, he will adorn with his righteousness. He will adorn with his holiness. He will adorn with his abundant life, his forgiveness, his favor, his blessing. And that these promises can never be thwarted, and they're in no way irrelevant. And today, we are all in varying seasons of life. We all have our own turmoil and trials and circumstances, but Christ is declaring to you today that he is mightier than any roaring water. And he is mighty to save, and he's mighty to deliver, and he wants to meet with you in those places afresh today. And where it feels like the forces of chaos are thundering and raging against you, he wants to lift your head. I love that the Psalms actually don't say, and God spoke and the waters dissipated and went away. The waters roared. They didn't leave. But his perspective shifted from the waves to Christ. And he wants to lift your head today and say, don't worry about that. That will never topple you because you're in me and that can't topple me, but you can just look to me. The picture I've had is, if you've ever been on, when a tide comes out, you can find these tall rocks that sometimes get totally surrounded by water, and I picture us standing on this rock and the water is crashing all around, but it's not actually consuming the rock, that we are actually set on a solid foundation, and the waters may not stop, but we just look up to Christ for our salvation. We are unconcerned about the things that are happening below him. And he is calling this church to stand firm on the promises of his testimony, to stand firm on the reality that he is the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginning of the end, that his throne was established before the creation of this world, that his kingdom is not of this world, that it's eternal and that it's immovable and that it's unstoppable, and you are fully a part of it. And amidst a raging sea, Christ is mighty. And he is on the throne, and he has called you. He has toppled your flesh. He has toppled your weakness with the waters of baptism. And he has called you to share in his newness of life, of which evil will never overcome, of which earthly pain and poverty will never diminish the glory of eternal redemption and salvation. He has shown himself faithful and victorious, and he will do it again and again and again because it's who he is. The crashing and roaring waves does not mean that God is not with you, and it doesn't mean that you're necessarily on the wrong track. But he's saying, don't look at those, look up to me. I think of the Israelites again passing into the promised land. He stopped a mighty river so that they could pass through and come into battle. But with him, they overcame. And by following him, by fully submitting to the enthroned king, by denying ourselves, by living a life where we're daily picking up our cross, we're living a life of wholehearted following of Christ, we will see his overcoming nature again, even if it's not the way we expected it to happen. So Christ is inviting us into faith, into hope. He's saying, don't doubt me despite the raging waves. Call on me. I'm quick to deliver. confess to the world the testimony and the true decrees of God, that his salvation is true. Lean into the eternal and steadfast, immovable trustworthiness of God, who is the enthroned King of Kings. He is the enthroned Lord of Lords, and he's majestic and he's glorious. And you're in him. You're united with him. You're one with him. And he's victorious over everything that is killing you. The waves may not subside, but they will not topple you because you are in Christ. And as we move forward, this is where we fix our hope. This is where we fix our joy. This is the trajectory that we're on, is to submit to our King, to live a life wholeheartedly devoted to him, and to lean into the glories of his salvation. Amen. I'd like to invite Bishop Todd to lead us in the Eucharist.
Father Stephen asked if, before the service, if I would give a word of application to what he had said. So let me say a few words before we respond to God at the Eucharist. You and I need to get teaching like that in our hearts every single week. Somehow we have got a kind of pseudo-gospel into us. This imagery he's given us on a rock, all kinds of waves crashing, instability, ferocity, but standing on something very stable, looking up, that is biblical imagery. From the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that language, that imagery, those truths are used. Okay, let the kids come in. I need your attention. And even though that is a central message of the Bible, some part of us feels very ripped off when the waves are crashing. Which means we have been introduced somehow to a false gospel that has told you a false narrative. That if you were really spiritual and if God was really good, the waves would stop. And as long as you imbibe that, as long as you believe that, it is not a Bible message. You will be disappointed and you will project it onto God, and then your love for him will become cold and distant. Because what kind of God would do that to me? There are strong cultural messages that color our and distort our understanding of the gospel. Listen to that again this week. Go on there, listen to it again, and ask yourself, where am I out of sync with that message? So let me reframe your week a little different. Application. Bible says we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But you are going to have something in your happen in your week that is you are going to see shaken. So when something in your week goes in a way you didn't want or didn't expect, something breaks down in the house, instead of saying, oh God, this isn't what I signed up for, I'm so upset, I'm a Christian, I'm loving you, and my refrigerator broke down. What kind of father are you? Tell yourself, reframe it differently. That's not the kingdom of God because it just broke down. It's being shaken. I don't put my trust there. Everything that is not the kingdom of God is going to be shaken. Everything that is not the kingdom of God is a lifespan. It is all moving toward breaking down around me. And so don't be surprised. That's not the kingdom. I'm so glad that the kingdom of God is not going to go the way of my refrigerator. I'm so glad my hope isn't put on that darn thing. And rejoice. This is what the scripture says. Therefore, we are grateful that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, we offer to him worship and praise. Look at Hebrews 13. So we will see an increasing measure of shaking in our country. Okay, hear me. Everything that is not the kingdom of God is going to be shaken in an increasing measure. And so if you have your hope on that, if you put your faith in that, then you too will be shaken. But if you can tell yourself, that's not the kingdom, I'm so glad the kingdom of God doesn't break down. It's not flimsy, impermanent. Oh my goodness, I'm ever glad I got my faith put on more eternal and strong and rock-like things. And step back from that darn refrigerator and worship. And if you can train your heart in a true gospel response to things, and every time something happens that just shaking breaks down, you're like, yep, well, sure gonna have my faith not in that. You'll even have friendships, but there is an ungospel aspect to your friendship, an aspect to your relationship that is unkingdom. It's going to get shaken. And many other things like it. Stand back and go, that's not the kingdom. That's not where I put my trust. That's not where I put my hope. Those are just waves crashing around me. Sure glad the kingdom of God's not like that. And if your response is worship instead of hopelessness and resentment, you will have an utterly different kind of week. And so just before we begin, I want you to bow your head in a word of prayer. I want you to think of your week. I want you to think even now, what's the thing that's being shaken? It's unstable. It's uncertain. What is that? Prepare your heart for something that could happen this week. Something's going to happen. You're like, it's going to shake. And tell yourself, that's not the kingdom of God. It's just a refrigerator. My faith isn't there. My trust is not in the economy. My trust is not in the mortgage rates or anything else that's changeable. I'm so glad I got a kingdom. I'm so glad I stand on a rock. And I'm going to worship my way through this week. Take a moment, prepare yourself for your week, or else when something happens this week, you're just going to do the same thing you've always done. This is called discipleship. Following Jesus ways that count. following him when it matters. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be His what? Now and forever. Unshakable. All who are willing to share in Christ's death, to rise with Him in new life, put aside your sins and to be reconciled where there is division. Draw near now with faith. And take this holy sacrament to strengthen, to comfort, and to nourish you. And make your humble confession to your Heavenly Father. Take a moment for private confession. May I recommend all the things that we've put our faith in and trust in that are shakable. Let's apply some just repentance to that right now. Together, let us make our confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us our sins, both known and unknown, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, in the power of your Spirit, and to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him. Have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness. And bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's give him our thanks.
Why don't you stand with us? So we're going to confess that through song.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name,
in Christ alone,
in Christ alone.
Cornerstone,
darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within. Righteousness alone.